Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised.
A very special Tech Week edition of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. Hope you are well. We are coming to you from the Carolina Catholic Media Network on North Tryon Street. Always a special, interesting experience to be in these hallowed walls here. If these brown paneled walls stained with coffee and cigarettes back from the 1960s could speak, I'm sure they could speak volumes about all the activity that's been through these airwaves over the years. But today we are going to bring you some good, strong, Catholic, masculine airwaves through these microphones and broadcasting signals. I have a great pleasure of having two wonderful men with me today, sort of a last-minute episode. We have a lot going on this week, and like I mentioned, we have it's the Tech Week edition of The Obligation. And what is that you're saying? The Tech Week, that is the week before typically a production, a movie, a play, or something takes place. They run through all the dry run, make sure everything's working and ready. You know, a lot going on with that. You know, we're going to talk about that. But you know, Daniel Vu was with us back in January of this year. Daniel has an apostolate. It is Tradcat Men. He has organized many rosary marches. I think he's involved with men's conferences out there in California. And Daniel, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of what you do out there in California.
So I run Traditional Catholic Men, but everyone knows it as Tradcat Men. It's at the very essence, it's a Instagram page that calls men to be Catholic. And the reason why they're Catholic is because they're fulfilling the roles that they are demanded of as men within the church. So I remembered 4 years ago when I was making the switch over to the traditional Latin Mass, I noticed that everything was balanced compared to what I had grown up with, where you would go to church where it was designed very much like a movie theater or a conference center. A majority would be old women and maybe a couple older men that obviously didn't want to be there. They wanted to watch the NFL or whatever sports game was on. But over at the Latin Mass, you very much felt the essence of what it meant to be Catholic. It was very balanced. A majority of the congregation tended to be young, and it was very obvious of who was in charge, which was the priest and then the men who were in charge of their families. And even the single men looked like they were in charge of their own lives instead of wandering around. So when I looked onto social media, I was thinking, okay, if that's the case, there has to be a page for Catholic men, because there's so many pages for veiling and modesty for Catholic women, which is great and all. But when it came to the men, it seems like there was a lack thereof, or there were people that were trying to dabble within, I suppose, that niche of Catholic masculinity, specifically on Instagram. But it was always falling short, at least how I felt. So I remembered spending an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I was thinking, God, where's that page? Because I would follow right now immediately in a heartbeat. And all of a sudden, there was this thought of, why don't you do it? And I was thinking, no. I'm not one of those guys that takes selfies or shoots live feeds. And every time I pushed back, there was this sense of peace. And on the Feast of St. George on April 23rd, I decided, you know what, we're going to do it. We're going to call it Traditional Catholic Men. And I remembered within 48 hours, I already had 500 followers. And I was thinking, this is a little strange, because I barely posted and there's so many people posting that, hey, you should follow this page. It has great potential, even though I haven't done much. But I felt that, okay, with prayer and taking this leap of faith, God will take care of the rest. And I think that by the end of the second month, I had 3,000 followers. The numbers kept climbing. And that was when I started hearing people in the messages saying, hey, because of what you posted, for the first time in a decade, I went to confession. Or, oh, because of what you posted, I decided to organize a 3-week mission trip to Mexico. And there were people that were asking me advice on, say, oh, I have same-sex attraction. How do I overcome this but not defy the church's teaching? And I found myself getting more embedded into it on top of just calling men into action, which became the overall theme of my social media apostolate, is don't just read the catechism. Don't just attend mass. Don't just talk philosophy and theology in coffee shops. But get out there and do something. Take action. Pray the rosary in public. So the same year, a friend of mine had this great idea of just hiking up this very challenging hilly mountain called Callous Mountain while praying the rosary and carrying the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was great. It was very challenging. But at the end of the hike, we were just like, let's do it again. And people started slowly catching on. They started doing their own. And a friend of mine, Sergio Flores of GMJ Cat 3, 2 years later, in the midst of the pandemic, he was like, hey, do you want to do a joint men's rosary march? Because times are starting to get chaotic. And we decided, you know what, let's throw one together, put our faith in God. If it's just the two of us, so be it. But it became overall very successful when we held our first one in January. The numbers kept climbing. And the most shocking but the most awesome thing that we also witnessed was men stepping up to the plate and holding their own rosary rallies or crusades or marches, whatever you want to call it, just for men in multiple states, and some countries even picked it up. So a lot of the times, aside from continuing to call men to action, is just giving guys advice on how to run a rosary march or giving that kind of encouragement that's needed for those that are thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important. You know, you mentioned the traditional Latin mass, and you know, I've told many times on this show how important that was and how impactful it was to my life. And you know, part of me just sitting here in this conversation revolves around, you know, finding the traditional Latin mass and really starting to understand what sacrifice, what the sacrifice of the mass was about. Joe, I know for you, 11 years in the Marine Corps, still active, and traditional Latin mass certainly a big part of your life. And you know, tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
Correct. Yeah. So I had a reversion about 7 years ago. My oldest was born. Grew up Catholic, fell away for a long time because of what I was seeing growing up. You know, just what we were saying, we weren't doing, and it just kind of was one of those, is this really real, you know? Fast forward to right before my daughter's going to be born, decided, you know, I got more than just my salvation riding on the line now. I got to really figure out what's going on here. There were two local parishes when I lived in Chesapeake, Virginia. Went to both of them. They were great to get me started again, but I still had that same feeling of like, well, kind of going through the motions here, you know, this is kind of, it wasn't quite fitting, right? And then I was looking for confession one day, and I found there was a Catholic parish that had confession at 6 in the morning before the 6:30 Mass, and then 8 in the morning before the 8:30 Mass. So I went before work one day, and to this day, I remember the counseling that priest gave me. I mean, just daggers right through the screen. And, yeah. You know, he told me that, like, it sounds like your faith is dead. He's like, stay after Mass if you can, or stay afterwards for Mass if you can. And I did, and life-changing. It was one of those, I don't know if you've seen the new Star Wars trilogy part, where, you know, they ask Han, like, is this real? Is this all real? And it was one of those, like, Han Solo moments of, yes, everything you've been told is real. It is right here at this moment. It is real. Yeah. And it was just life-changing for me. Moved down to North Carolina from there, and there was no Latin Mass where we were at. But I was able to work with a couple of people, and because of some deployments and pilgrimages I was able to do, we started a Latin Mass group where we'd go down to Wilmington, North Carolina, about an hour and a half south of us, once a month for the Latin Mass down there.
At the Basilica?
At the Basilica, nice. Correct.
Yeah, it still goes on to this. I think they only have it one time a month as of now.
The fourth Sunday of the month. We had, I think, 50 to 60 people going down there once a month with us, and it was fantastic. So the Latin Mass literally saved my life and
amen.
Saved my faith.
Yeah.
So now we live here. We came to this diocese after I got out because of the Latin Mass and what's going on in the Charlotte Diocese.
You know, there's been, you know, a lot of discussion, you know, with the Latin Mass, and it's masculinity. You know, it's order, it's structure, it's symmetry, it's balance, the music. I mean, it's all very, very organized and very, you know, very the way it should be. I mean, I described it, you know, in the times that I'll talk about it, just when I walked in for the very first time, you know, after not having practiced for many, many years and abusing anything you could abuse, it changed my life. And I went that Sunday, whenever Sunday afterwards, a great miracle in my life. But you know, just as we're sitting here and, you know, we're talking about this and we're speaking of masculinity and, you know, this otherworldliness, isn't masculinity somewhat of an otherworldliness these days to find? I mean, it's hard to find, you know, what is true, you know, what is masculinity? I mean, I think the epitome of true masculinity would be a Catholic man who's actively participating in his faith. You know, Daniel, you know, what are your thoughts on that, and where are we with our masculinity these days?
I think that with the term toxic masculinity being thrown out around, and where everyone's saying, where have all the real men gone? And aside from the occasional sarcastic and joking manner of saying, hey, they're all on my page now, I would say that it's difficult to find unless you go to a parish that has some established brotherhood, whether it's official or not, instead of just merely going onto social media, and the next thing you know, you're seeing the secular men who have podcasts, such as like Andrew Tate before he got arrested, or like certain individuals that are very much pushing, okay, be a real man, but in reality, they're no different than an insecure man that just happens to bring on pornographic actresses and belittle them for the secularism, but they're really no better. Whereas if you were to go to, say, a traditional Latin Mass parish, it's very much of, you may have just come back from the church from being away from there for a very long time, but we're going to start you on a new slate and build you up, because that's what Christ came to do, was to redeem you. Now, is it necessarily going to be the lovey-dovey Jesus loves you? No, not necessarily, because we all have our shortcomings, and there's some things that has to definitely be beaten out of us, whether it's being irreverent or having some egregious idea of objectifying women, which unfortunately is so ingrained with so many young men these days, because there's this hard pendulum swing from being in a very effeminate world for so long. And the Catholic Church very much balances it out with a solid group of men, provided that that particular church has a group of men that are established and taking men in, showing them the ropes of what it means to be a true Catholic man. And it's merely not just some Bible study, but again, I always harp on taking action. All right, let's go box, or let's do a cookout, or let's do a rosary march. Anything that gets a man not just partaking in the church, but also partaking in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we, of course, you know, we have the Knights of Columbus. I've been a part of the Knights of Columbus, you know, 20 plus years, actively, you know, Grand Knight for our local council. And you know, involved with the men's conference, and that's just one of the angst there, because you know, yes, the guys come together, a very, very few number of men come together, and yes, they, you know, will have donuts, or yes, they'll, you know, serve a meal, and all those things are great, but it's just not drawing in the young guys. The young guys, they want more, they crave more. Innately, we need more and we want more. That's just the way it is, and we sort of reject that which doesn't have substance to it. You know, the substance of an average Catholic church, unfortunately, has about the substance of a donut that the Knights are serving. You know, nothing wrong with having the donuts and bringing the, you know, with an ideal of bringing in fellowship for a parish. Granted, you know, good ideal, but it's not satisfying that craving that the men want. I mean, Joe, you know, thinking of, you know, going through boot camp, you know, that camaraderie, that fellowship that's built, I mean, it's not built by sitting around and having, you know, sipping tea and watching cartoons. It's built through substance, and it's built through grueling activity, and I guess it's called shared traumatic experience. You know, can you speak a little bit about that and how it can relate to a man's craving for faith and really active participation, you know?
Of course, yeah. And Daniel kind of hit on it too, where, you know, you come into a Latin Mass parish and You know, we say, hey, we will build you up. We will help you to get to where you need to be or where you want to be. And I think that's what a lot of the stuff that's lacking right now and just in the world in general. You know, you're good how you are. You're good how you are. Be happy with how you are.
Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Just the way you are.
Exactly, just the way you are. Or, you know, Jesus dying with sinners too. It's like, well, yeah. You're forgetting the part that he told them to convert and repent.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you work out your salvation through fear and trembling. You know, that's another one, but yeah. You know, I don't want to get too far down there.
and looking at the military training side of things, that shared traumatic experience, you know, guys want to do hard stuff. I mean, no one wants to go and say, okay, it's a good service to go pick up trash or to serve the poor. 100%, I agree with that. I ran pancake breakfast for the Knights of Columbus at my council in Jacksonville. But guys want to do more stuff than that. They want to build the camaraderie. They want to do hard stuff. They want to go out and do rosary marches. They want to hike up hills. They want to go shooting. Again, stuff that we find and we crave as men, just manly things. And it's just not there. And again, through boot camp or training, you know, there's a lot of experiences where you're going through it because of the guy next to you. You know that if you give up, that guy's going to give you crap later on. I'm like, hey, man, you quit. I think there was I can't remember who it was, but I saw a post about it that kind of speaks to this. You know, we need people to say, just stop being gay. Like, that there's a reason guys call each other out for that stuff. Like, stuff that we look at as being categorically effeminate.
Yes.
Calling people out for that to say, hey, like, you're going down the wrong path right now. Let's check that, bring it back over here, and this is the way you need to go and keep going forward.
Yeah.
And again, you see that in the military. A lot of it comes off as a secularized masculinity where, you know, beat your chest and whatnot. There's a time and place for that, but I've seen a lot of it turn into a lot of hedonistic behavior, which again is not what you're looking for. We're going there, and then suddenly we take a left turn, a hard left towards Albuquerque, and you know, we start becoming hedonists at that point, as opposed to having, you know, the four cardinal virtues and then the three theological virtues as well to help guide that. And for me, that's what I look for with a lot of men's groups. You know, I don't want to be listless or feel like I'm, you know, a one-man army out there trying to change things. Being able to bond with men and go on and share those experiences, whether it's, you know, shared traumatic experience with, I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of that at the Martyrs Walk.
One will never know until tomorrow.
But it's a shared experiences, though, that like, hey, I'm not only doing this for me, but I'm doing this for the guys next to me. And then more importantly, I'm doing this for my family as well.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not there for my family or doing this for my family or for my future family, for guys who are single, then who are you doing it for? You know, you got to look at that regard, and then, you know, doing it for God as well.
Awesome. I think we are coming up on our first break. I'm talking to Joe Simmers, Daniel Vu, U.S. Marines, hardcore Catholics. We'll be right back.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
And we're back. Thanks again for tuning in to The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy, sitting down with my good friends Joe Simmers and Daniel Vu. We've been talking about masculinity, Catholic masculinity, the epitome of man, in our opinion. We were talking about some of these works that perhaps the Knights of Columbus, other organizations within the church do, serving food to the poor, a good thing to do, right? Charitable act of charity, serving the parish, having Bible studies, all of these things are great. But just thinking, these are sort of could be a consequence, could be an effect of something more greater. But those things are being used as the vehicle, and they're not reaching the men. Some men will go in and they'll do those things because might feel obliged, might feel like, hey, I need to do something charitable, or otherwise, maybe they genuinely want to help. But unless you have the main body, that's really providing that brotherhood, that fellowship, it's sort of like, like we said, eating a donut. It's gonna go right through. You're gonna feel like crap once you eat it, and it's not gonna have any substance to it. So you're getting kind of the icing on the cake without the cake, and the cake's where everything's at. It is so important to have that brotherhood, that fellowship. And I know on a daily basis, just with the small group of brothers that I stay in communication with, that I would call my band of brothers. I know how difficult life is, even having those guys to reach out to, going through something. We know one of our brothers, Tico, is going through some things right now with some medical conditions of one of his sons. And as difficult as that is, it's always a little bit less difficult when you know you've got the ear and the prayers and the support of the brothers around you. And I know my life has changed drastically because, a couple years ago, not that I wasn't living a good life, probably starting to live a comfortable life, probably a life filled with excuses, was going to Mass. I wasn't, skipping out on Mass or the sacraments or praying the rosary, but maybe getting a little soft, getting a little lazy. But, with that band of brothers that really hold you accountable, you can really bounce something off someone and say, hey, let me get another set of ears, set of eyes on this, that's going on in my life. What are your thoughts? And sometimes, we got to be prepared for that response, because inside of us, our pride, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear what makes us feel good, what makes us comfortable, that doesn't really shake us. But a dead fish goes with the flow, and if we're just kind of going with the flow and going with what we think is okay and acceptable, and we're not checking that, we can find ourselves down some really dangerous rivers. And in my opinion. We've hit on boot camp. We've kind of danced around a little bit with the Martyrs Walk. Daniel, you're certainly gonna be coming the furthest out in California to be a part of this. We're very excited to have you. We're excited to have all the men here that will be part of what we're doing here. Tell us a little bit about your anticipation. What's going on through your head before you embark on this? Because you've been through boot camp, obviously, as well. This is a little bit different. This is a Catholic, Christian boot camp. What are some of your thoughts before you take that step tomorrow at noon?
I think that it's very much going to be a gut check, because on one hand, I'm like, all right, and minus the head shaving and being secluded away from the world for 3 months and getting brutalized, it's very much going to be, all right, where are you really standing in terms of your faith? Is this all for show, or is this where you put your money where your mouth is, or should I say faith, to where you're willing to put a foot on the ground? Now, there are certainly a lot of times where I had to put my foot on the ground where I stand, but I certainly wouldn't be coming in with this attitude of, this is cakewalk, because what if there were certain things that I've never been exposed to where I could possibly fall short? So I think that I'm coming in with the mindset of just empty slate and being prepared to sponge up everything and anything that comes the way, and then also just to be prepared to see, okay, what works and what doesn't, and how to make it better for the actual group that's going to come in August.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Certainly, something I have never done before. I'm looking forward to see if how it all plays out. You know, in my head, I've got an idea, but a lot of things run through our heads that don't necessarily come out, and sometimes even just in common speech, you know, what we're trying to say can't even come out clearly. So let alone a 54-hour adventure into your faith, we can say. Joe, you know, how about you? You know, coming into this, trying to keep your mind clear, be ready, expect the unexpected, perhaps.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about it. Obviously, coming up to this, before any kind of event, I'm the guy that where my hand will be shaking uncontrollably until the event starts, and then I kind of am good after that. However, looking back at different training and whatnot, my mindset going in is, all right, make it to lunch. Okay, now did lunch, make it to dinner. All right, now let's make it to lights out.
That's right.
Okay, you made it to the night. Let's make it to breakfast now. So just one event at a time, one little like milestone at a time. But as far as, I mean, this is a retreat though. So okay. It's not only just, you know, surviving, but it's thriving and figuring out where those weak spots are. You know, I can sit around all day and think about weaknesses or strengths that I have, but until you start putting the physical side of things into it, it's, you really don't find too much. Outside of adoration, the best way for me to figure out physical stuff and have good mental clarity is to be doing physical activity. And so that's what I'm looking forward to with this. And I think that's going to be the biggest piece is, you know, remembering that it's just not, don't just survive, but you got to thrive. And actually take advantage of this and figure out where your weak spots are so you can start shoring those up and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Amen. Speed, volume, intensity. Daniel, do you recognize those three words? Are you familiar?
Yeah, right when I was on the yellow footprints almost a decade ago.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It's definitely something, it's forever ingrained in every Marine's mind.
Sure.
As far as I know.
Yeah. Joe?
Yes. Speed, violence of action, or speed, surprise, violence of action is another one, too, where just a lot of loud noises going on at once and trying to maintain that mental clarity and, again, being able to concentrate under stressful situations and thrive.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is comparative to, an Ignatian retreat. That's about as close as I can compare it to. I've made a number of Ignatian retreats, five-day retreats, and a couple of weekend retreats. It's been several years. I'm probably up for one, so this will be a good, good experience for me as well. From that perspective, you know, there's been a lot of preparation going into it. So there's been a lot of study and, of course, prayer. But a Ignatian retreat, you know, typically St. Ignatius of Loyola, when that was developed, it was a 30-day retreat. And I know that they still exist. There's not very many of them. And I know sometimes priests will make that retreat before they become ordained. And it's 30 days in silence. And it focuses on the four last principles, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And it's quite a journey, you know. It's quite a journey, and I know even in my younger days, when I was first going back to the Latin Mass, and just starting to, you know, put my faith into action, I made a 5-day retreat, and it was in silence, and that was unique. It was different. It was something I had never really experienced before, so it was tough. I was there with a couple of friends up in Minnesota, and but it was life changing. It was part of my experience. It was the first time that I was ever around a group of men that I ever heard a group of men praying together. You know, I was brought up Catholic. We weren't practicing Catholics. We were pretty nominal, if on a good day. But my sweet grandmother, she was very faithful. And, you know, great example, always praying for me, always providing, you know, religious articles and sending them, you know, wherever I was, you know, in the, you know, moving around in my different, you know, days of, you know, discernment of vocation. But the first time I ever prayed a rosary with anyone in my family was with her. So, you know, having that experience and tying that there, but being around the men, it was something different. And, you know, Daniel, I know you do a lot of rosary marches. You'll go out and you'll publicly proclaim, you know, your faith. And, you know, there's a Latin verse or a Latin saying, and I mean, we hear a lot of it probably, you know, more than ever recently, Deus vult, you know, God wills it. And I love that. I love that phrase. But I think this is a phrase that's maybe being a little abused, overused. And there is quite a group, I want to say a group, a generation maybe, which is a little bit larger, of Catholics that are probably, you know, good Catholics for sure. But I think, to your point earlier, kind of sitting behind the memes, sitting behind the aesthetics, and time for aesthetics and the memes are kind of done. I mean, I'm not saying that they're they're unimportant, because they do speak a lot of, you know, we could say a lot in a small meme, but it's time for action. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the funny thing is, in the 4 years that I've run this apostolate, is that you see both the bad and the good on social media. And not to get too off tangent or anything, but to get back onto the point that you were talking about, is that a lot of these guys, they focus on the memes. Sometimes they plagiarize from each other, or they're trying to make a name for themselves. So not necessarily bettering their lives and their faith, but it's more of, let's see if I could create this page and see how many followers I could get. Maybe I could be like that Tradcat Men dude with 25,000 followers now with my memes. And it's like, buddy, that niche is already oversaturated with people that are either established or people that are literally thinking the same thing that you are. Mm. And then sometimes when you get face to face with them for the first time, you're like, this guy looks like a freaking nerd, and not in a complimentary sense. Yeah. Because it's just like,
is it because I'm wearing glasses today?
No,
come on, Daniel.
You wish, but
all right, sorry.
Lord Neckbeard.
we'll settle that tomorrow. Don't worry.
Yeah, but I would say that a lot of these guys, they have double personalities. They'd be very much saying some of the craziest, if not cringiest, things, and some of them that don't really agree with me on certain things. Such as, okay, smoking and drinking is not a sin, because no one has been able to point out to me where in the catechism and scripture. And yes, drunkenness and excessiveness certainly is a mortal sin, but that's the difference. And I'd be like, all right, I mean, if it comes down to throwing hands, you know where I attend, or let alone some people might even find my home address. You're more than welcome to show up. I'll wait. And nothing happens. Yeah, so it's sure. A lot of all talk, no show. And then when you see some of these guys in real life, they're very socially awkward. They hide behind, and you realize that they hide behind a screen instead of doing anything meaningful. I remembered how there was this guy from the UK. He was, you know, God forbid the feds were watching, that he was basically calling for me to lead an insurrection against abortion centers. And I kind of looked into him and I'm like, okay, buddy, you live in England. You run a aesthetics page, and you're meaning to tell me to lead an insurrection? How do I know you're not a federal agent and I'm getting played into it? Which is ironic, because I have plenty of friends and acquaintances who coincidentally attend the same Latin Mass parish and are federal agents too.
Interesting.
But he was just like that same type of individual that was just like calling people to action, but yet hiding behind a phone or hiding behind a iPad or laptop or whatever you use these days to run social media, and not really getting into the weeds of it and being like, all right, let's actually put the money where our mouth is and get out there and do something. It may be small, it may be by yourself even, or just another buddy, but who's to know if it's gonna catch on, especially if it's what Catholic men are craving. Now, if you're going to do something like, let's mob the security at Area 51, then obviously it's not feasible. But if it's something such as doing the Martyrs Walk or the Men's Conference, yes, the numbers will be small. You'd have to have that expectation that God's going to take care of it. You can't expect, 200 men to show up.
Sure.
Everyone starts off small.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I've seen even some guys go as far, you know, they've got their own iron suits and everything ready to go. And the calls to crusade, you know, these calls to crusade, these intense videos of crusades. And I mean, you know, when it hits the fan and Catholic men have to go out and defend our families and defend our churches and defend our society and the women and the children and the innocents, let's go. But all of this just hot air about let's crusade and let's have our chain mail or whatever it's called, you know, your full, you know, regalia there, ready to crusade. I don't know. Now, switching gears on that, but really a very, you know, a similar, more, you know, an impactful way to do that, and practical way to do that. Joe, tell us a little bit about Queen of Martyrs Templar, because that is a very practical way that you can actually put your faith in action, and you can start crusading today. We can crusade right now by avoiding sin and practicing virtue. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Queen of Martyrs Templar, it's a new group being started by a couple very traditional Catholic men. Again, men who are looking for that, like, shared camaraderie. We were all practicing our faith very well and decided or realized that, you know, it was just, again, that lone person out there trying to find someone else to bond with, to have that male camaraderie. It's based off of our rule. I believe there's about 42 different things in the rule, but it's just practical stuff. Pray the rosary daily. Pray the angels three times a day. Fast. Don't eat between meals. Abstain from fish or from meat on Fridays. Again, the basic Catholic stuff that we should have been doing, that people were doing for centuries, that we haven't been doing for the past few decades. Yeah. And moving forward with that. And again, you're talking about crusading. That's the crusade that we can all do right now. You're right. It's just crusading to make ourselves better. And then when the moment comes that, you know, we might need to do something, then, hey, we are ready for it. The whole, what we were talking about earlier, the whole take action thing, you know.
Yeah.
People will talk and talk and talk. I've been guilty of that too, overanalyzing things, where you just kind of get into that analysis paralysis. You just take action. Take action, take the first step, and then once you get from there, you start to get the momentum going, and then you can keep rolling.
That's right. Man, time slips by so fast. I think we're going to have to jump off. Everybody out there, please stick around. We'll be right back talking to Joe Simmers and Daniel Vu. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 90% of older adults wish to stay in their home as they age? Aging in place has many benefits. It tends to improve quality of life, which in return improves physical health. Also, retaining independence as we age is critically important to our mental health. Hi, my name is Meredith Dignan, and I am the president of Harmony Home Solutions and an active parishioner of St. Patrick Cathedral. We are your trusted partner for aging in place. We strive to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging-in-place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. Now is the time to get your aging-in-place plan in order with Harmony Home Solutions. Visit our website today at hhsclt.com. Again, that's hhsclt.com. Or give us a call at 980-220-8821. Again, that's 980-220-8821. We want to help you live an empowered and beautiful life.
And we are back. Welcome to the third segment of The Obligation. Having a great conversation with my friends Daniel Vu and Joe Simmers. Getting ready to embark on the Martyrs Walk this week. They're going to start in formation at high noon tomorrow, and there will be 54 hours of grueling physical, mental, spiritual exercises in hopes of, you know, bringing them more aware of themselves, more aware of their God, more aware of sin, and you know, becoming better. You know, putting their money where their mouth is. Putting their faith into action, and we hope that we will be going out, you know, creating a ripple effect. That this ripple effect will affect us, and it'll go out to our small, you know, communities, our domestic churches of whatever scale they are, whether that means kids and wife and extended family, or that means friends, family members that are affected by, you know, we all are called to be the heads of our domestic church. You know, even you don't have to be a married man to be the head of a domestic church. So, you know, we left off there. We were talking about the rule, the Queen of Martyrs Templar rule. John Hughes, one of the founders of that rule, he is going to be probably might be flying on his way in now. He's on his way in. We have Rick Barrett, the armed Catholic. I was just notified that he landed in Charlotte. He is on his way to the Martyrs Walk. We have Cesar Vasquez of the Sons of Mary. So many of you may have seen him on Instagram. He does a daily rosary and angelus three times a day. And he is going to be part of that as well. So Tico Villario, of course, the Cuban-American Catholic, been on with me a couple of times on the obligation, good close friend of mine, and Tico is going to be joining us. So, you know, talking about this, you know, this this crusading, you know, not this crazy abstract idea that will probably never happen, but a practical crusade, a daily crusade, an hourly crusade against sin. That's where it's at. You know, if you can't crusade against, you know, the sins of gluttony and, you know, of sloth, sitting in your mom's basement, drawing up memes, you're probably not going to be able to join us, you know, when a real crusade happens. And, you know, the martyr's walk, just like this rule, this Templar rule here, the Mary Queen of Templar rule, you know, it's a roadmap. You know, we're not preparing guys for actual martyrdom. You know, in a sense we are, but in a sense it's more of this localized martyrdom, this daily martyrdom. You know, again, if you can't crusade against sin in your life, and you can't you know, be a martyr to the sins of the flesh and the small stings and the temptations that are thrown at you each day, you'll never be a martyr when it comes down to it. The Queen of Martyrs Templar, the rule, you know, I equate it kind of similar to what we're about to embark on. You know, it's a roadmap, you know, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. Like, I have never prayed a perfect rosary, never, ever, ever, ever. I've never been to Mass and participated perfectly in Mass. And, but just as the rosary beads themselves, they remind us, they, you know, as they go through our fingers, they're a reminder when our mind drifts off and we become distracted and we forget what we're doing, it's there to remind us. And I would say that the rule, you know, we call it the rule of the Queen of Martyrs Templar, very much similar. I doubt anyone has ever and will ever participate with that rule in a perfect manner. But it's there to guide us. It's there so that if we do veer off the track, we do have that roadmap, and within one turn or two, we're back on track. But if you're, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're driving around without a map, you know, after, you know, 10, 20, 30 turns, you got a long way before you're going to find your way back. And that's kind of how I've looked at it. Because, you know, if you look at the rule, if you look at the, you know, the martyr's walk, and you have this idea, okay, we're going to go through this perceived, you know, virtual martyrdom. Okay, how's that going to work? You know, well, it's going to be there as a roadmap, hopefully to be there as a reminder, you know, as we wrap up on Friday and we go back to the world, that it's there. It's almost like an indelible mark. It's muscle memory for the next time that sin comes creeping and a calling. So, guys, you know, any thoughts on some of that there? Daniel, you know, how does any of that sound to you from a practical aspect of having that roadmap and those guideposts that we need, you know, in our walk?
I think that going back to when you were seeing crusading, everyone tends to think in the bigger picture of, I can't wait to whip out that armor, that chainmail, that sword, or figuratively or literally.
Sure.
But the thing is that it really begins in your personal life, where you have to have that spiritual discipline first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Like you, there's a lot of times where I will say 99% of the time, I never pray a perfect rosary. Like yesterday is a great example of just like thinking about, okay, how am I going to have a contingency if I were to get stuck on a connecting flight, et cetera, while interspersively praying the rosary, not playing. But also, one also has to realize that a lot of guys, especially these guys that we're constantly calling out of making memes and being keyboard warriors, there's a high chance that they just don't have that spiritual foundation or discipline like a lot of us would like to think. I'd have to ask the question of, all right, are you doing any actual devotions or prayers such as the rosary daily? And then coupling it with perhaps physical exercise or even mortification, such as, all right, maybe adding in a cold shower or knocking out some push-ups when you experience lust or whatever vices anyone struggles through these days. Once you have that foundation to combat those little things in life that we encounter all the time, I'm not above it, then that's when you could finally think of bigger picture things such as, all right, let's find like-minded men and create this roadmap for others that are out in this sort of spiritual wilderness that that they're navigating through all this hedonistic lifestyles and degeneracy that disguises itself as something noble and virtuous, but it still leaves emptiness, as the devil always does.
Yeah, sure. Joe?
No, I 100% agree. I'm glad you brought up discipline, because that was the thing that kept coming to my mind. You look at anybody that's successful in life, what are they? They're disciplined. They're disciplined in whatever it is that they're successful in. We can't be spiritually successful with anything unless we're disciplined. So it goes over to that too. And I think with the rule, it's a good way to, again, to take the physical discipline. Hey, you know, cold showers, you're fasting, you're abstaining from stuff. You carry a rosary with you at all times. That is the one thing that you constantly have with you, is your rosary, because that is your primary spiritual weapon. You have that with you. So those are some physical things, but then also get the daily rosary, praying the Angelus, if you can, you know, praying some liturgy of the hours, some of the divine office, things that will make you disciplined, so that you know, okay, I know I'm doing this right now. It is 12 o'clock. I'm in the middle of a conversation, in the middle of a meeting. Hey guys, I need to step out for a minute. I got to pray the Angels right now. Like, this is discipline. This is what I do. Because if you put it off, you know you're going to forget it later on.
Yeah, sure.
And again, it's that the discipline to, again, hold yourself accountable. And then when you have yourself accountable, having those other guys too, that you know, okay, so you start feeling kind of lazy with this, I have other guys I can reach out to and talk to, and then, you know, have them bounce ideas off of them, so I know that, hey, they're going to hold me accountable because they truly care about me and I truly care about them, so I'm going to hold them accountable as well. So it's that discipline. So the physical discipline, but also the spiritual discipline that really is a driving factor for that, that I think makes it different from every other thing we see in our life now, because everybody wants to take the easy way, right? What's the easiest thing? Okay, a donut after church. Tastes very good, but what does it do? It leaves you empty, leaves you kind of feeling sick and whatnot. Why not go out, have whole foods? You know, whether it's steak, pork, chicken, or even just fresh vegetables or fruit, like the whole food that's going to make you feel better. That's what having that spiritual discipline is going to do. It's giving you that whole food, so it's not, you know, the candy or the donuts or whatnot that you kind of feel the spiritual high, and then you come down and you feel really low again. It's making sure that you can maintain for the long distance, for the long run. I mean, St. Paul said it, I've run the race. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to run the race and at the end of it say, I've ran the race and I've succeeded.
Yeah, that's right. You know, discipline and training, I don't think they can be separated. Because if you're practicing discipline, you're doing something, you're training something, some part of you, whether it's, training for, you know, you're trying to discipline your body so that you can train for an exercise, or you're trying to lose weight. But that discipline and that training, it kind of intertwined there, in my opinion. And Joe Spano last week, you know, we were talking, you know, just about the discipline and with boot camp and the Marines and, of course, the Navy and just the military and the church militant, you know, as a whole. And, you know, we were speaking military terms at the time, but, you know, speaking about training harder than your enemy, you know, that is something that, from a military perspective, of course, you have to be more disciplined. You have to train harder than your enemy, because your enemy's training right now as we speak. And, you know, speaking to spiritual level, we're talking, you know, Satan, he's training right now. He is working right now. He is exercising. He's waiting. He's plotting and planning this very moment right now as we sit. So if we are not training harder than our enemy, well, you know, if you're a boxer or you're a runner or you're any sort of athlete, and if you're not working on it and you just think, well, it's just going to be there, it's not going to be there. And it's going to be further away from there the less you train, the less you discipline. So we have to be, we have to be continually learning about ourselves, because we do within ourselves, that enemy is within ourselves. I mean, our human nature, you know, of course, it's not a demon, it's not a fallen angel, it's not Satan, but it is working against us in many ways. And if we are not training against those tendencies, the concupiscence of the flesh, then we're not going to win that battle.
Right. So we had a saying in the Marine Corps: you always default to your lowest level of training. That is the default. When things start to get crazy, you fall back to that lowest level. So if you think you're going to rise to the moment, are there times that have happened in the past? Yes, people have done that. But a vast majority of the time, the rule of thumb, people default to the lowest level of training. So if you think that, okay, hey, when this happens, I'll be able to be spiritually disciplined or physically disciplined enough to go, you know, run the 1 mile I have to go down there to pick someone up and bring them out of a burning building or whatever, and you don't train for that, well, guess what? When it comes to that time, you're not going to do it. Absolutely. It's just not going to happen. Same thing with the spiritual life. If you say, oh, yeah, I'll figure that out later on, I'll be able to be disciplined when it comes to this and that, but you're not being disciplined in other things, you're not going to be disciplined in the faults that you're having.
Yeah, and here's a real-life example of that, and it's not to talk trash because, like, I mean, I'm an imperfect individual, but a great example of that was when in the summer of 2020, aka the violent but mainly peaceful era, there was this BLM sympathizer that had made threats to my parish specifically at the time for whatever reasons it may bring, but overall it was just a race bait and an attempt to get everyone nefarious's attention to come down there. And I remember prior to COVID, a lot of those that were in charge, so to speak, or subtly in charge, I should say, were very much of philosophical and theological stature men. And they would talk very much so of, oh, St. Thomas Aquinas would do this, G.K. Chesterton would do that, so on and so forth. And yeah, sure, it was those that I hung out with because they tended to be in the majority. But I remember that day when the threat was out and everyone was notified, those same type of individuals are very much of, well, what if we were caught violating the law? Or what if this isn't the right thing to do? And I was thinking, forget that. Let's get down there and stand out front. I don't care if I end up in jail or not. I'm going to go armed. Because God forbid some Antifa or BLM activist attempting to destroy the stained glass windows whatsoever. And by the way, I'll leave this group chat because it's just annoying me at this point. So I head down there. There's already a bunch of guys that I never really paid attention to and you wouldn't think are the types to stand out front. So I've encountered, and they've become good friends since then. One was now an active duty Navy SEAL that was recently returning to the faith. He was standing right next to a really close friend of mine now, a car mechanic who barely paid attention at Mass at the time, or an ex-gang member that I didn't know until after the fact. And there were so many other guys that were coming out of the woodwork that you were thinking who would never be out front standing there being like, all right, let's wait for him to bring it. If we die, at least it's a straight ticket to heaven. At the very least. So I think that granted in our respective backgrounds, it was very much that we were defaulting back to what we know we were called to do, along with maybe some various aspect in life that prepared us for that moment unintentionally or not. Because I always live by the saying of God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. But there is a certain aspect that God certainly knows you're qualified in that gets you to rise to the occasion. I suppose in my personal background, given that I've served many years in the Marines, there were certain aspects of them molding me within leadership positions that I now find myself in at my respective parish, and let alone running a social media apostolate. And I was like, wow, I certainly was qualified. I just didn't realize it until I was called to this moment. Or like, okay, maybe the ex-gang member remembered his good old days, but he wants to turn it into something good. Or that Navy SEAL that was like, all right, I might as well apply these skills to protect the church that has brought me back into the faith. Yeah. So I think that people don't realize it, but they are certainly qualified. It's a matter of remaining qualified, so to speak, of what they've been called to do. Yeah. But a lot of people don't rise to the occasion because they don't think so, or they find themselves over-contemplating or over-philosophicalizing. And in the meantime, the church is just decaying as a result of that.
Amen. We are certainly all called to more. That is very important. And you know, once we get to that point where we think we've made it, that's about when we're going to start falling backwards. I've been there. I know that you have to keep pushing forward, keep striving for more, striving more for the kingdom till we get there. Please God. Gentlemen, gosh, it goes by, it's gone. So we are mere hours away from the Martyrs Walk. For those out there who heard us chatting a little bit about the Martyrs Walk, you can go online to www.themartyrswalk.com. Check it out. Our first main event is August 24th to the 26th. You know, check out the website, send us an email, and we'll get you some more information, get you signed up. And Daniel, Joe, tell us, you know, folks out there want to hear a little bit more about you, want to follow you along on Instagram. What's the best route?
For those that want to follow Traditional Catholic Men, just go to TRAD, so TRADCATMEN. Just type that in, and you'll be there.
All right. And Joe, I know you've got a spot there, and they can go on Instagram and find you as well.
So it's jsim, two M's, 2010.
Awesome. Well, everybody out there, thanks for tuning in, and you know, send us a prayer. We will definitely keep you in our prayers, and we'll see you on the flip side of the Martyr's Walk. God bless, and esto vir.